Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Trick or treat? If you ask us here on Food Friday, we'll take the treat. Now, candy, of course, is a staple of Halloween, or any holiday these days for that matter, and it just wouldn't be All Hallows Eve without it. Candy comes in all shapes and sizes. You got your gooey, chewy, hard, glazed, chocolate, cherry, you name it. There's a candy out there that has it. We have three of the finest confectioners in our region in the studio with us today. Tom Krause is the candy man behind Krause's Homemade Candy in Albany, a business that has been in his family for three generations. Mike Fitzgerald is the pioneer of the Peppermint Pig over at Saratoga Sweets in Half Moon, New York. And Joe Serrata is the master of chocolate over at Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory in Schenectady. And in fact, he's just opening a second location in Latham. If you have a question for the confectioners, we want to hear from you. You can tell us your favorite candy, whatever you want to do. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Tom, Mike, and Joe, welcome to the show. Nice to have you guys here.
Hi. Thanks very much. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. This is a big day. By the way, if you want to call us, that would be great. 800-348-2551. You can also go to our Twitter feed, WAMC Vox Pop. I posted a picture of the stuff that Tom brought. And then Mike brought another platter. And Jessica Blousey, did you post that on Twitter? Anyway, you can post your questions and comments there, WAMC Vox Pop. You can also go to our Facebook page, WAMC Radio. We have a Vox Pop post there. You can comment. Or you could go to our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. Calling is good, 1-800-348-2551. Well, nice to have you guys here. I know that you are all very vicious competitors and you don't like each other, so this should be an interesting program.
Yeah, not in the least.
It's a good thing the walls are padded because when,
it's going to be a bloodbath.
Tumbling around here. It's
chocolate flying everywhere. And well, let's see now. I got to say, I haven't seen this much chocolate. I mean, even on Halloween, before we give it out on the kids, I haven't seen this much chocolate in a while. We'll start with you, Tom. What did you bring today?
We brought some seasonal favorites and some new things that are twists on some old favorites. I've got some pumpkin pie spice caramel corn.
Cool.
I've got pumpkin seed brittle, and I have pumpkin truffles and pumpkin caramel fudge.
Wow.
Of course, if you don't like pumpkin, then you're kind of out of luck.
You got chocolate, too. I noticed some chocolate as well. Mike Fitzgerald, the... Saratoga Sweets, and we've had the Peppermint Pig.
Yes,
how did you come up with that one?
Actually, I didn't come up with it at all. Well, a little. That it originally was made in Saratoga about 1880. That's when Peppermint Pigs were first introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And we revived the tradition, faded out in about the mid-30s when the last candy maker in town passed away. World War II, sugar was rationed, so there was no more candy. Then we started making them in 1988.
Mm.
So we're up now to about, we made 60 then, now about 120,000.
Wow. A year?
That is impressive.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot. So you've served up millions of Peppermint Pigs now.
Yeah, we're very happy that people all over the world have had a piece of pig.
Well, all right.
And it's great because they break the candy, so they got to get it again next year.
Ah, right you are. Now, Joe Serrata is the master of chocolate at Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory. He's unique in this group in that he didn't bring any candy with him.
Okay.
You know, I just want to get that out
famous,
there right now.
I'm actually famous for that. So,
you did bring your own beverage. I mean, that's nice.
You know?
Obviously, sure. You do fine work, and I've had it as well. And so we're here. You're here for the expertise. And by the way, even though you didn't bring, we will share.
Oh,
all right.
Actually, the whole part of the deal was to come and taste these guys' chocolates, spy on what they're doing.
That's what it's Macy's and Gimbel's all over again.
Oh, yeah. I knew he was going to be here. I wouldn't have come.
You know what? You warned me. You got here first, and you said, you know what? I can't believe you got a show with these two guys.
I thought it was somebody else with a costume on.
Everyone's asking. They're telling me that's the scariest costume they saw all day. I walk in the room.
You know, this is going to be an interesting hour, and before we start tasting chocolate and candy in general, let's take a call or two at 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Lucas in Altamont. Lucas, you're up.
Hi. I was wondering, why do people who make sugar-free candy keep trying? It always tastes awful.
Well, you know, I disagree. There is some, well, maybe I'm in the wrong house to say this. There's some pretty good sugar-free chocolate out there, sugar-free candy.
Yeah. I mean, some people just can't have a lot of regular sucrose or white sugar. And so those people have to have a substitute, and something with no sugar is better than nothing.
Do you guys make any of that?
Yeah, well, we buy the, probably you're doing the same thing as I, you know, we get a very good quality chocolate that's sugar-free. Mine comes from Peter's, okay? I'll tell you honestly, it's very good, and it's improved over the years. But that being said, and I imagine it's similar in you, with you guys, is that the sales of that product has not grown in the last few years. And I believe that people who are diabetic or limiting their sugar intake just have the good stuff, the real stuff, and they just have less of it.
In very small quantities.
Right. Yeah, I see that as the trend.
It does seem like it was really popular, and then the last few years, sales have gotten soft. And I agree with Joe that I think people are maybe just having a little bit less. Plus the stigma of how it was and some kind of gastrointestinal problems that it caused.
Yeah, in years past.
Has that improved that whole situation?
I believe, yeah, they've improved a lot of the formulations, you know, to make the product. But it's still going to create some issues, people's stomachs. It's going to bother some people. So I think people are afraid to eat it because if you buy the really cheap stuff, you go in Walmart or something and you say, let me try this sugar-free candy.
Yeah.
And you buy that stuff, it's going to really get to your stomach, okay?
So don't eat too much.
And then what happens is people then say, well, I'm never going to eat sugar-free candy again. And I this is a little bit off topic, but I think we've seen the same issue with white chocolate where people have tasted some very bad so-called white chocolates and said, oh, I'm never going to buy that again. So as a result, the white chocolates have also suffered.
Interesting. But, so white chocolate really isn't chocolate, though, right? Or is it?
Well, it should be. I mean, you know.
White chocolate for up until about 15 years ago we weren't allowed to legally call things white chocolate because the U.S. government didn't have a official definition for white chocolate. But now they do. So there is a real white chocolate by definition by the U.S. government.
And was it has there cocoa in it?
It has to have cocoa butter in it.
Ah.
But it doesn't have any cocoa or chocolate liquor in it.
Okay. All right. So the number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Thank you, Lucas, for your call. I'll tell you what, we'll start breaking out the candy after the first break. Let's take another call here. Alice in Del Mar. Alice, you're on.
Hey, this sounds like a fun program.
Oh, yes.
Wish I were there.
Yes, it is.
Pretty tasty.
I'm calling with a question that I'm hoping is not going to be controversial. I'm wondering if any of the three of you use fair trade or organic chocolate in your making of your products.
Well, I do use an organic line and of chocolates, and I strictly do molded and chocolate bark with it.
Mm-hmm.
I could be honestly tell you, however, that the customer demand for that product in my store is not very high.
Can you tell the difference if you came in blindfolded and say
It totally tastes different, and the reason I believe it tastes different, particularly the milk chocolate, is that it's grass-fed milk. It's Agostini. It's an Italian line of organic chocolate, and it's certified organic. And we clean our machines and we mold with it, you know, at the holidays and we make Santas and things. But I can't tell you that people really want it that badly. We've been disappointed with the sales, and you know, we're using not a fair trade or organic product in our everyday line, but it's very high quality bean, and it's It's delicious, and I think that people just say, "Well, I'll live with the fact that it's not organic."
Well, I've learned. We sell fair trade chocolate and stuff like that at our church once a month, and we did a huge investigation a couple of years ago with the H brand of chocolate and learned that they use child labor over in the Ivory Coast.
Okay,
and so we push for fair trade and properly grown and properly harvested, particularly chocolate. And I just wondered if you guys do. I know I'm not even sure about the N brand. You know the one I mean?
Yeah. Like,
you can say the name.
Can I? Nestle.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, Nestle or Hershey. So I just wondered. But
right.
Yeah, but I mean, I know that I don't eat a lot of chocolate.
No, you're missing out. Oh, I gotta say.
I know, because I was told that it raises the serotonin level.
Is that good?
And it's very good.
Okay, good.
Very good for
my
you.
My serotonin level is going to go out of the atmosphere momentarily.
Hey, over Alice. The top.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Thanks for the call. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Zach, the engineer, is cueing the break. Let's take a break.
Support for WAMC comes from the Meat Market Great Barrington, full-service butcher shop featuring locally grown pasture-raised meats, and a cafe serving lunch Wednesday through Sunday, daily soups, hamburgers, and specials, themeatmarketgb.com. Marble Tile True Value Hardware, Stone Ridge, a locally owned independent source offering Loge cookware, Weber grills, and specialty kitchen items, marbletownhardware.com, True Value, Start Right, Start Here. Different Drummer's Kitchen, the cook's resource in Albany, Lenox, and Northampton, offering hands-on classes taught by regional chefs. Gift certificates available for the holidays. DiffentDrummersKitchen.com for registration. Union College Concert Series, presenting Quatuor Eben, a French string quartet performing works of Mozart, Mendelssohn, and Bartok, Thursday, November 13th, 7:30 p.m., UnionCollegeConcerts.org. And Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Albany, helping to support individuals and strengthen families and communities since 1917. Caring Beyond Belief, ccrcda.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday on a Halloween, and boy, I tell you what, you get three candy makers in one room, and they, you know, all decorum goes out the window. They talk, they yell, and they shout. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We're joined today by Tom Krause from Krause's Homemade Candy, Mike Fitzgerald of Saratoga Sweets in Half Moon, and Joe Serrata of Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory in Schenectady. And you just opened or are about to open a spot in
Yeah, we Latham? Just opened in Newton Plaza, a
nice.
Second store.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Now, wait a minute. His store is way longer than ours.
Yeah. There's a reason for that.
That All-American? We better grab that All-American.
Sure, the All-American thing. Yeah, he's probably going to.
You guys aren't All-American?
I'm going to be all half
terrible.
Moon.
All half terrible.
Moon. There you go. Tom, you guys were very close to the station for a long time, and now you're up for the last, 10 years?
Yes, we were from 86 to 96. We were right down the street,
yeah.
But we ran out of parking.
Yeah.
And
the,
we had
the
a
new
great
spot
time
is
there,
great.
And then we had to find some bigger digs.
It's huge up there.
Yes,
it's great.
It's huge.
All right, so we're going to break out some candy now, and we'll start with Tom, because Tom was here first, and he badmouthed the other two guys. So we'll start
beat
with
us
Tom.
Up.
It's always good to get first.
What do we have here? Jess is going to pick something out.
Pick it out. Oh, that is a special thing for the fall. It's a pumpkin truffle.
A pumpkin truffle.
It has a white chocolate ganache with pumpkin and pumpkin spice.
All right, let's try it. Oh, yeah.
There's dead
mm-hmm. Oh.
Thank you.
That's
you can really taste the
truffle.
Pumpkin. Mmm.
Why didn't you draw a little face on it, Tom?
Yes, that seems to be more your department there.
I'll get it.
This is really good. I mean, so
combined. That's
the ganache is butter-based? Or?
Yeah, it has heavy cream.
Mm.
It's very heart-friendly. But it does have and it
but
does
the serotonin
have
levels
pumpkin
are
in
way
it.
Up.
Yes, your serotonin. You'll be happy.
Yeah. This is delicious. So this is a pumpkin truffle. Outstanding. Gentlemen, what do you think? You're the competitors. Did you?
Who are you calling pumpkin?
They're delicious. It really is good.
Yeah.
Joe, did you eat yours in one bite?
Not yet.
Okay.
He's also having a pumpkin popcorn. Pumpkin
I'm jumping
spice
ahead
popcorn.
To the pumpkin spice popcorn.
All right, let's try that while you're
that's,
here. Let's give it a shot.
That's great.
So this is, Tom, pumpkin?
Pumpkin pie spice popcorn.
Wow.
Caramel corn.
Look at that beautiful orange color. If you're watching online, WAMC.org, we do have a video cam. You're like Vanna White now. You're holding up. There you go. Let's try that.
Uh-oh.
You're going to hear a lot of crunching sounds on the radio.
That's good radio, though.
Crunch, that. Crunch.
That's like feel-a-vision.
It really is good.
Mm, delicious.
Are you sick of pumpkin yet? Because we do have other things.
Well, pumpkin will pretty much end. You know.
Yeah.
All right. Tell you what, we're
pretty
much done with that.
It's an intense rush,
I think we need
autumn rush,
pig
but it's
now.
Short.
That's really nice, though.
We're heading towards peppermint time.
Okay, and that's where you come in, Mike. But let's take a call. We'll have a couple more from Tom, and then we'll break out Mike's platter of goodies. Let's go to Estelle in Clifton Park. Estelle, you're on.
Hi, thank you. I'm just wondering if any of these gentlemen could tell me if they make or if they don't, where I could find chocolate-covered cashews.
I would imagine we all do.
We all have them.
I've got chocolate-covered cashews.
I have them in milk and dark chocolate at Uncle Sam's. How about you guys, both?
I've got milk in the glove compartment in my car.
Well, it's not too hot now. I'm sure they'll be all right.
Okay, now wait a minute. Which one is that? Uncle Sam's?
Yeah, we all sell them.
You all sell
them. Well, Estelle's in Clifton Park.
So ironically,
Mike,
I am closest.
Saratoga Suites.
Saratoga Suites is closest to you.
In Half Moon.
He's right down the
street.
Just
a short drive.
Okay.
Well, thank you for
you
calling.
You can walk there, hopefully.
Well, I hope so.
All right, thanks.
I'll give you a ride home. Don't worry about it.
There you go.
Thank you.
In his chocomobile.
So what do you think?
Wonka-vader.
When you're making chocolate-covered cashews or almonds, dark chocolate or milk chocolate better? What's your preference? I like dark chocolate better on them.
I happen to like both.
That's a cop-out answer.
Yeah, that's
no, but it's true. Sometimes I feel like milk chocolate, and sometimes I feel like dark chocolate. Well, you know, sometimes I like white wine, and sometimes I like red wine.
All right, I like milk chocolate covered cashews.
You do?
I like milk chocolate.
I'm with you. Why?
High five right here.
Why? Yeah, why?
Because
of the way it tastes, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's clearly not the science for them. Right, let's go to Joanne in Ticonderoga. Joanne, you're on.
Yeah, I just heard on NPR the other day that there was supposed to be a big escalation in cocoa prices because of the problems in Africa. And my husband was just asking, well, where does most of the cocoa come from? Because we thought it was a native of South America. It was kind of interesting because several months ago there was a big study that said that cocoa is good for your circulation. So I have my own concoction of unsweetened cocoa and non-fat powdered milk and hot water, and I drink cocoa that way every day. And also, I'm glad that you have information on non-sugar candy, since my husband has recently been put on a restricted diet. So we've eliminated, and we're discovering all these friends that have diabetes that are on these restricted diets, and they're still eating candy because they don't know where to get good candy for diabetics. So maybe these guys should advertise their stuff more to people with health problems.
It was funny. Joe mentioned that the sales curve sort of just flatlined at one point with the sale of sugar-free chocolate
and sugar-free candy. Sure, they're making me hungry with all this talk about chocolate because we can't have it in our house right now since my husband's on this special diet.
Oh, boy.
I'm saying, what am I going to do for him for Christmas?
Oh, well, you know, the original point that Joanne had was one that we had heard in the news when the Ebola outbreak in West Africa was hitting the news hard for the first time several months ago, that chocolate could be affected. Have you guys seen this as far as prices?
Yeah, well, you guys want to address this first? I'll wait.
Sure. A few weeks ago when Ebola was really panicking people, there was a scare because most of the chocolate of the world comes from the Ivory Coast and Ghana. Now, Ivory Coast and Ghana happen to border along the three countries that have the most Ebola outbreak. However, Ivory Coast has effectively shut their borders down, and they're not allowing any kind of immigration between their country and the affected country. So Ivory Coast has very few Ebola outbreak cases. I actually, for the last 3 weeks, chocolate prices have actually been coming down. There was a spike, mainly due to speculation.
Yeah.
And then
the last three weeks,
chocolate prices are actually coming down.
You don't have to worry about Ebola victims raising the price of your chocolate. You have to worry about Wall Street speculators raising the price of your chocolate. There's really one thing that's driving it currently is Wall Street speculation, pushing up the commodities market and costing particularly the smaller confectioners who, like us, who use lesser amounts than, say, guys that make, you know, millions of pounds of chocolate bars in a factory somewhere. So it's that's been the big the bad guy. And then the other issue has been that we've experienced in the last say 10 years is the folks over in China and India, a couple billion people have recently tasted chocolate for the first time, and they said, you know what, this is pretty good stuff, and we can afford to buy it once in a while now. And so when you get a couple new billion chocolate consumers all of a sudden in a decade, you find there's some pressures on the market, which has increased the speculators to say, oh, okay, we're gonna work the commodities market, make money on this because this stuff is gonna be selling.
Yeah.
So those are your reasons for seeing that. And the other thing is, you know, the chocolate, you can't plant a plant today and harvest cocoa beans in, you know, in a month or 6 months. It takes some time, kind of like you think about when you grow grapes. You have to plant a vineyard, and it takes some time to get a yield. So it's not an overnight process. So there's only so many cocoa plantations and cocoa farms that are going to be able to be picked to get cocoa beans, and if there's more demand, well, obviously it's going to push up the price. So we will see increased pricing in the future as we go. But I don't think there's any panic right now about Ebola causing an expense or something like that. Or, you know, and let's be clear, Ebola doesn't get in the chocolate, okay? First of all, it doesn't get into the food supply or anything like that. That's not an issue. So whenever they talk about things like that, sometimes the media, they send a reporter out and they start reporting on these things, and it becomes media driven,
right,
and panic driven. And I certainly want to always clarify, you know, it doesn't mean your chocolate's going to have Ebola.
Right.
You know, it's just one more thing for people to freak out and get
and
scared
of. That's what we saw a few weeks ago when the news media first picked that up, was there was an initial panic. People went out and speculators bought a lot of cocoa bean futures, and then suddenly there wasn't anymore because there wasn't
right.
a real problem.
You know, and a lot of some of the other things that go into candy production and cocoa or chocolate production, you know, the sugars and all those other things, butter. All historically all go up this time of year anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's going to inflate prices.
And butter
anyway.
Is a little more of an anomaly this year because
right.
it's doubled in the past 12 months.
Even if you go to the grocery store, you notice
yeah.
that.
Butter has doubled from last time,
so, I mean,
last year this time.
We're affected the same way people at home are affected. We buy larger quantities naturally, but we're affected by those larger costs, and you know, and we have to lay them off as best we can.
Absolutely. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. We talk candy today with Tom Krause, Mike Fitzgerald, and Joe Serrata. And if you want to join the conversation, please do. Have the tastes changed in the time that you guys,
yeah.
between the time you've started in business and today, or is it pretty much a constant, what people like most?
Tastes have definitely changed.
Yeah. In what way?
The American consumer has become much more sophisticated, and there's many, many more brands available to you. You can just see it in everything you go, you buy at the supermarket. It used to be, when I was a kid, we had one yogurt. You go to yogurt, it was Dannon, your vanilla or a plain.
Delicious.
But
yes.
now there's like, you know, 900 types of yogurt. It's the same thing with chocolate. The consumer has a lot of variety available to them, and so they're much more sophisticated, and they know what they want, and they're exposed to a lot of different things. And when I was starting out in business, milk chocolate was definitely the most popular chocolate.
Yeah.
And nowadays it's more. It could be more 50-50 now. It used to be like 70% milk.
Was that just an American thing?
That was an American thing. Europeans always like dark chocolate.
Yeah,
it's pushing parity. It's not there yet, but it's pushing to be, you know, 50-50. It's probably 55-45, I'd say, in my store.
Plus, too, you know, the younger generations, it's all how sour, how obnoxiously named candy can be.
Yeah,
that's very cynical, Mike.
That's
well,
true.
And for adults, you know, we're in the middle of a sea salt.
Oh, I see some of that over here.
Is there sea salt?
Is that sea salt caramel right over here?
That's a coconut.
Oh, coconut.
They put any sea salt in here.
You know, sea salt
might be right there, yeah?
That's sea salt.
Sea salt's the big thing right now.
Sea salt's the momentary rage.
But it's good.
Absolutely.
Salt and sweet is very tasty.
I don't think that's going to be a momentary rage. I think that one's a candy that's going to stick.
It started off with pretzels, right? Chocolate-covered pretzels. Yeah. Who hasn't heard of that? And those were great sellers. And then potato chips became, and we do those.
Yeah.
Do you do
bacon?
Yep.
Chocolate-covered bacon rocks.
Yes, we have done some.
Yeah.
But Mike is actually at Saratoga Sweets has really been innovative with his use of the bacon.
Mike, tell us what you did with the bacon for Valentine's.
Well, that was our Valentine's special was actually a heart made out of chocolate-covered bacon.
With
potato chips, caramel, and peanut butter in the center.
Oh, God.
And we...
Does it come with a heart catheter?
Well, we affectionately called it the heart attack.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone... who would like to give someone a heart attack, that was the way to go.
That is the...
someone that you really cared about.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Someone very wealthy who you very... All right, let's go to Diana in New Paltz. Diana.
Yes, hi. I would have two quick questions. One, I was wondering how smaller chocolate makers handle people who need gluten-free items. And secondly, I'd love to know what you're all handing out for Halloween this year.
Well, all right. At the house, that would presumably
at the house, yes.
It's all the stuff that we didn't sell in the store.
We didn't sell.
Oh, man.
That's great.
Actually is terrific stuff. Whatever we made too much of, it's at our house. You got to come to my house.
Yeah,
it's great stuff.
Do not give your addresses out.
They've been lined up since Tuesday. Matter of fact, Joe and I go to Tom's house, and we take some of that stuff back.
And we remelt it.
We sell it for Thanksgiving
treats.
You keep
using the same costumes. I recognize you now.
All right, what about gluten-free, gentlemen?
Gluten. Well, that's an interesting question. There is some chocolate somewhere that someone makes, apparently. I have an inkling of who it is, that uses some type of barley sweetener, which adds gluten to the chocolate. They are an anomaly, and it's not something that is done by any of us, right?
No.
Our chocolates don't contain that.
Very little gluten in confection products, unless you're dipping an Oreo cookie or a graham cracker or a pretzel.
A pretzel, and what I tell people is that I will not certify that anything in my store is allergen-free at all, which means it could be contaminated by an allergen, like a nut, a piece of that pretzel, okay? The odds are pretty good that it's not, but I certainly can't make a plant special and not use nuts, for instance. Okay, nuts have been a major allergen for several decades, or peanuts, because that's such a big part of my candy making. So I would have to have a different building if I were going to promise that, like a separate building where we only did, gluten-free. Now, because I do pretzels and Oreo cookies and graham crackers and animal crackers, and we dip them in chocolate, we have now possibly contaminated all the chocolate in the entire place.
Yeah.
And in order to be a stickler about it, right? But generally, if you're talking about, I might have a sensitivity to it.
If you have celiac disease, then definitely don't. Yeah. Eat products made from candy makers from us because we don't have the ability to have a separate piece of equipment for everything we make.
Yeah. Right.
But if you just have a minor allergy, there's so little gluten present that it probably won't cause a problem.
Right?
I know, right.
In the building.
Chocolate inherently does not have any gluten in it.
Right. No, not at all.
Most caramel, no. You know, hard candy, no. Those things do not have gluten products, so very little.
The company I'm talking about that uses the barley sweetener, I have no idea why they would use this barley sweetener because...
Just to eliminate, more people from their product line.
Yeah, it's just, but people will come in and say, I saw it on the label, and, what about you? And I say, we're not allergen-free, and I explain this. I spend a lot of time with my customers talking about it. And somebody comes in and says, I found when I eat too much wheat, I get hives or something, or my stomach doesn't feel good. Or, it's not like coming in and having a loaf of bread here.
Right.
Okay. It's a chocolate. And if you're allergic to nuts and you could get anaphylactic shock, I highly recommend you buy nothing in a candy shop, a bakery, I mean, even Dunkin' Donuts. You go into Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm not trying to knock anybody.
Well, it's, from our legal department, nuts. I would just say, you know, let's not speak for Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, I'm not going to speak for them, okay. But
I saw Serrata is talking about over there.
I don't want to get sued.
But
I saw chopped nuts on some of their donuts, okay? So any place you go into that uses nuts, if you are in a life-or-death situation where that if you were to eat that product and get deathly ill, be very careful.
Well, you know, and all of us, we all use allergen alerts on all our labels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If there's an allergen alert on there, that it's not just to cover us legally, but it's also to make sure that you don't get sick, because that's the last thing we want to do.
Absolutely. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. So we've had some amazing chocolate already. I had a pumpkin truffle from Tom Krause at Krause's Homemade. We had some of this popcorn, which has, well, it's candy corn, right?
It's candy corn.
With pumpkin.
With pumpkin puree and spices.
I just ate a dark chocolate spider. Outstanding, while we were taking the last call.
Oh, so that's a protein.
That wasn't chocolate. That was...
You know what? I don't
care. We didn't
care.
Make any dark chocolate spiders. Was it crunchy? That might have just fell on the plate.
Everybody's a comedian. All right, Zach, we're going to take a break here, and then we're going to sample what Mike Fitzgerald from Saratoga Sweets has brought.
Support for WAMC comes from Sundog Cider at Solaqua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples, unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York, sundogcider.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974, preservenys.org. Adirondack Creamery Ice Cream, crafted with local milk, cream, sugar, and eggs, and no artificial additives. Flavors such as pumpkin pie and banana chip available at Adams Fairacre Farms, Whole Foods, and other specialty grocers. AdirondackCreamery.com. MCLA North Adams, presenting another Michael S. and Kitty Dukakis public policy lecture featuring journalist Jose Antonio Vargas, November 13th at 7 p.m. at the MCLA Church Street Center, made possible through the Ruth Proud Charitable Trust. MCLA.edu. And New York Folklore Society Gallery Shop, J Street, Schenectady, showcasing the art and music of New York artisans throughout New York, supporting local shopping this holiday season, nyfolklore.org.
Some things I've learned here on this Food Friday edition, this candy edition. Candy makers are pretty funny, and we're having a good time. Guys, the mics are on, just saying. And Tom Krause is here, Mike Fitzgerald, and Joe Serrata is here. Also, our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. And we're going to try some stuff from Saratoga Sweets in Half Moon, New York, that Mike Fitzgerald brought. By the way, if you're scoring at home, once again, Joe Serrata from Uncle Sam's. He didn't bring anything. So if you want to try, you got to go to Uncle Sam's in Schenectady or Latham to try. What do we have here, Jess?
But he's giving away free candy all afternoon.
I am, actually. We're giving away
he's
candy apples.
He's not at his shop right now, so.
All right, what have we here, Mike?
That's an almond butter crunch.
Oh, you can't lose with this.
That's
all right.
Almonds, butter, chocolate, and crunch.
Crunch, yeah. Thank you.
Talk amongst yourself. I'm eating now. Mmm.
That's really thick stuff you got here.
That's one of our more popular products. We make a lot of it every year, especially around the holidays. And this might be a good time to share my fact.
You have some candy corn in
candy
the platter that you brought. Very nice platter.
That, as we all know, Americans spend almost $2 billion a year on Halloween candy.
Yep. Wow. It's expensive. You go to the grocery store, it's $12 a bag, $9 a bag.
It's serious money. And candy corn continues to be the number one candy.
Okay.
Which is ironic because candy corn isn't portioned out in small packages like Reese's and Snickers and things to hand out. So it must just be people sitting in closets eating candy corn everywhere.
Ah, very interesting.
And if you actually took that... Ready for this? If you took the...
I've been waiting for this all the show.
The $1.9 billion, and it was all invested in candy corn, it would be 158 trillion kernels of candy corn.
That would fill every swimming
every year?
Pool.
Or is this all every the candy corn ever made every year since the beginning
every
of time?
Every year, 158 trillion.
That's a lot of candy corn. Candy
I started corn. About counting about 3 years ago.
Now, since I was a kid, I probably accounted to eating about a third of that.
what goes into this stuff? It's a mystery to me.
It's like a mallow. It's like a marshmallow type of nougat, right?
It's kind of a fondant. It's a fondant mixed with a little bit of marshmallow.
All right. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll try something else here from Saratoga Sweets here in a moment. We had a tweet here from Patsy Manning who said, "Great show. These local chocolatiers are amazing and knowledgeable. We listeners are so jealous." And they should be jealous because this is a lot of fun. And we barely scratched the surface. We could do a 10-hour show.
And there's a lot of chocolate and candy here, which I think will remain here after we leave. So if they come to your station, they probably can just pick up some candy.
If you came back in 15, you leave whatever you leave, you come back in 15 minutes, it won't be there.
Won't be there.
No, we have an annex down the street, and the All Points Bulletin goes out. Candy in the front office, and it'll be gone. Let's go back to the phones here. Ron in Pleasant Valley. Ron, thanks for waiting.
Oh, you're welcome. How you doing?
Good.
I just had a question. I saw a show on TV where the coffee pods, some kind of a blight or something is damaging a large portion of those. Are we having like a major concern for the future of coffee availability? I'm saying coffee. I mean chocolate.
Cocoa beans.
Not that I know
of. Cocoa beans, yeah.
There was, a few years ago, there was a blight, you're right, and they were worried about, it was like Joe was saying earlier in the show, that to get a new crop of cocoa beans, the cacao trees, and it takes 10 years for them to start producing. So if there's some disease that starts wiping out the trees, you can't just plant another bunch of trees. It'll take 10 years for that to come to fruition.
Yeah.
But that is always overblown in the media, and every year we hear something bad about cocoa beans, and then the next year it's all gone. So don't panic too much. Right now everything's looking okay.
Don't feed the fear machine.
Yeah. No.
It's really just things that we put out there so people come in and start buying a lot of candy.
Ron, thanks a lot for the call.
You got it. Thank you.
1-800-348-2551 is our number on this Food Friday, and let's go to Karen in Clifton Park.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So are candy corns vegetarian if they have marshmallow in them?
Aha.
Generally, there'd be some.
You know what? I'm not sure what kind of gelling agent, whether they use gelatin. I don't know.
All right, let's try one here because now we're talking about this.
I thought there was a question regarding vegan chocolate. Is that something? Is that your question?
No, she's wondering if candy corn is vegetarian.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I've never seen it growing
on a tree? Yes. No.
You know, I got to say, I don't get what the big deal is about the candy corn. It's one of those things.
Well, you only ate one. You have to eat like an entire mouthful.
100 of them.
It's one of those things that you only get once a year.
Right.
And so it's, you know.
My kids love them. Don't get me wrong.
Anything you only have for like a week a year becomes sought out. You know, the other 51 weeks, you start, oh, geez, great. It becomes mythic.
Right. Okay.
I actually like the candy corn taste for about a week. And then. Yeah. After I pound down 2 or 3 pounds of it, it starts to, you know.
You want one?
It's like the pumpkin spice thing. I don't know how well pumpkin spice would sell in April, right?
Right now.
Well, that's
right.
Ridiculous. Karen, thank you for the call.
Thanks.
These pumpkin truffles will go all year round if you make them. Oh yeah, they're real.
Well, thanks.
You don't have to say they're pumpkin truffles. They just have a little spice to them, some sweet. You know, call them whatever you want. Talk to our marketing people here at WMC. Can help you out, Mike. Tell us about this. Did you provide peppermint pigs at one time for the fun drive?
Yeah, we do every year.
And I recall seeing one, and I think there may have been a sample, and it's quite something.
Well, it's a good hard candy peppermint. We use Pure Royal. We make it. That we found that the old timers in Saratoga who remember the pigs when they were children, whether their memories are accurate or not, they wanted a good hard candy and a very strong peppermint. So we should go the extra expense of using Pure Royal, and it makes a great piece of candy.
And Mike, tell him how you make it, because I've seen you make these things, and it's amazing. And when he says he makes them just like the old time, he's not kidding. Tell him how you make
that. That's because I am old. Actually, they're it's on the website. You can see they're cooked in teapots. As far
this
as
blows my mind, by the way.
Yeah.
Cooking in teapots.
We cook five at a time to transfer into the molds. It seems to work the best for us.
But you make $100,000 a year.
Yes.
That's
teapots.
Some pretty staggering math.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I don't do all of them. I do about 97,000. The last 3,000, I got to go shopping.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Get some more
but,
oil.
But we found that it just seems to be the best way. And actually, the reason we adapted that method was because I had seen a picture of a woman pouring hard candy with teapots many, many years ago. And I saw her a few years after that. And she informed me that that was just a publicity photo, and she would never, in any way, shape, or form, do that.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, she thought it was pretty funny, too, yeah.
Yeah. Here's a tweet we have here from Jay Van Amberg. How do you get three colors in candy corn batter without resulting in some weird light orange sunrise hue?
Mechanization.
All right, tell us.
Well, that's true.
So you guys really don't make the candy corn, right?
No, we don't make candy
corn. No, we don't make
Anybody make candy corn here?
No.
Candy corn is a starch molded product where, I don't know if anybody's familiar with starch molding, but it's basically boards filled with cornstarch that's laid out flat. Then you press indentations into the board, and they look like the little candy corn shapes. And then they pour one by one. Well, I don't know if they do that anymore, but they pour each color in one at a time, and just layer it up.
All right,
it's pretty fascinating stuff to see for the listeners to go online and look up starch molding of candy and see how it actually is done. It's really fascinating.
All right, let's go to Susan in East Greenbush. Susan, you're on.
Oh, hi. I just have a question for Joe.
Sure.
Back way when, late 60s, early 70s, my school took a tour of Uncle Sam's candy, I assume with the previous owners, downstairs and saw how they made their candy. And I was just wondering if he still,
yes.
is where he produces his candy.
Yes, what we did down there is when I took over, actually it was, I opened up there Super Bowl Sunday, 1993. Picked a great day.
Yeah.
For shoppers, right? No, just kidding. it was great because the news came and they put us on during halftime on the news, so that was the good part. That we reopened. It had closed for 9 months. And the folks that owned it before me, the Sharnowskis, were lovely people. And they ran it there for 35 years and before me. And certainly the basement, what I did is I totally gutted out the basement and opened up the wall. So you kind of remember when you went down there was probably kind of a smaller room. So I had to make the whole thing. I took the walls, the partitions down, and I remodeled the whole place years ago. And it still serves us to this day, although we are kind of bursting at the seams now. So it's in the same place, and we've got some upgraded machinery and cooking stoves, and we put in a cooling table, big long water jacketed cooling table for all the butter crunch we make, because they had the old marble slab, and we were still, of course, we still do use it. We just have to make so much more now, and so we have to cook it over the course of the day several times, and as a result, we had to add this machinery. Well, the funny thing is, because it's in the basement, we got it down there, but I don't know that it'll ever come up back out. Because we use gravity to get it down. The cooling table weighs 2,000 pounds, and you should have seen the nine guys I had over who were helping me bring that thing down in the basement.
And they're not your friends anymore.
They don't talk to me anymore. But yeah, it was amazing.
And we're not getting any younger, so that thing's not coming.
Right,
out.
Never
and,
you know, moving
out
of there. When you sell the
there place,
you include it in the
yeah,
price.
Yeah, it's in the deal, and you know.
But if you need any teapots, Joe, let me know.
Plenty of teapots.
All right, Mike Fitzgerald.
I just need to move.
While Joe was answering that, I tried one of the chocolate leaves.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen the picture on Twitter, these look exactly like leaves.
That's because that's what they are.
Well,
you take a real leaf, and they have to be washed and towel dried, and then you paint the chocolate on the leaf. If you paint the back of the leaf and then you peel the leaf off, you'll get a little more definition. The front of the leaf tends to release a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. Something that this time of year is getting more and more difficult to do because there aren't that many leaves left.
And you paint it with what to give it the sparkle?
That's called luster dust.
I tell you what, you can see the veins in the leaves, and there are different kinds of leaves here. The chocolate is really delicate, and it's a really nice taste, and it's not too much chocolate there. We're showing it at WAMC.org on our live stream right now.
Cool.
That's before Joe eats it.
A lot of those?
Yeah, we put a lot of them on platters, different candy platters, and that's pretty much, I do that, so I've created my own worst enemy with that one.
They're beautiful.
You know, when you're done with a teapot, you make the leaves. And Tom Krause is here from Krause's Homemade Candy, Mike Fitzgerald from Saratoga Sweets, Joe Serrata from Uncle Sam's. Let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Kathy in Schoharie. Kathy.
Hi. I have a comment for Tom Krause. I wanted to let him know that my husband's grandmother is a young woman. Was an employee at the Krause store in Long Island.
Oh, that,
many,
that's...
Many, many years ago.
That's amazing. Now, there was a store in Queens on Metropolitan Avenue. Was that the one? Or was it... There was one in Wyandanch, Long Island. Which
in
was,
Wyandanch.
Really?
That's where it was, in Wyandanch, yes.
That's a long time ago.
Yes. And... your candy has been such a big part of our life on holidays. It was absolutely necessary to have Krause's candy at Christmas. Mm. And my mother-in-law's birthday, she always expected a box of candy. So we have five generations of our family that has enjoyed your candy. And I just wanted you to know that. And thank you so much.
Well,
you make wonderful
that
candy.
That is wonderful. And you're the first person I've ever talked to that actually knew about the Wyandanch store. Because that was back around World War II. And,
yeah.
And that store was right next to an Air Force base, a military base, and they actually closed the road to his store because of security reasons during World War II. So
wow.
That made it
did
a little rough.
Did you work there, Tom?
Yeah. Oh, I was young then.
Oh, hey. I was only 30 then.
But thank you very much. That was...
You know what? These guys really don't like each other. Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Oh, boy. Let's go to line one. You're on. Hello. Are you there?
Hello.
You're on.
Yeah, my name is Sergio. I'm calling from Albany. Just a question and a point of correction.
I'm going to get a geography lesson. I know it. Sorry. I know where the chocolate comes from, but I don't know where
All
that
right,
is.
So go ahead, Sergio.
Yeah, you made a point about the two cocoa producing countries, which is Ghana and Ivory Coast. And when the comments came about Ebola affecting the production of cocoa,
yeah,
unfortunately, Ghana shares border with Ivory Coast, but not near any one of these African countries.
All right,
well, that's good.
The question is, some of those cocoa beverages, say like Ovaltine, some of these Ovaltine you buy, and it says made with alkaline, not the real cocoa. I want to know what makes up this alkaline to get this product out.
I think that's alkalized cocoa.
Alkalized cocoa?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the cocoa powder. And it's been treated with...
And why do they treat it with...
I think that it's probably, and I'm not a chemist, food chemist, but it's probably acidic, and then the alkaline somehow brings it to a point where it's...
Balances the pH.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Sergio, thank you very much for the call, and I caution you candy makers to bring maps next time, maybe an atlas.
Look it up in the GPS. In my defense, Ghana and Ivory Coast are... big producers of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
They do border each other. Ivory Coast is the one, and what the caller was pointing out was that the Ivory Coast is the one that's bordering the contaminated countries, not Ghana, actually makes me happy because it means that more chocolate.
So I'm not holding this against you, Tom.
Thank goodness.
You know, Now that we're on the topic, though,
can
Tom.
We're out of time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The quiz portion of the program will not happen. But, hey, Tom Krause from Krause's Homemade Candy.
Oh, but it's just time to sample Joe's candy.
Well, you see.
By the way.
Oh, yes. I've been
Providence should always have a way of working
that's
out.
That's better than candy corn, huh?
You know,
yes, we've been all waiting the whole show.
This show is mayhem. I got to say, Joe Serrata, thank you for coming without the candy. Thank you to Mike Fitzgerald from Saratoga Suites. We are done. Support comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. The College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, presenting a concert season of various genres, including jazz, zydeco, funk, classical, and chamber music at the Massery Center for the Arts, strose.edu/concerts. Snow Farm, studio craft workshops for adults and teens, glass blowing, woodworking, ceramics, jewelry, and much more. Simple dorms, homemade meals, and four seasons in Williamsburg, Massachusetts, snowfarm.org. And Bond, Schenick, and King, an Albany law firm with 9 offices throughout New York State, serving businesses, individuals, healthcare providers, and nonprofits, bsk.com. Thanks again to Tom Krause, Mike Fitzgerald, and Joe Serrata. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Our phones were answered by Colleen O'Connell. Jessica Blaustein Marshall is our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Have a great weekend, a safe Halloween. Alan will be back with Medical Monday on Monday afternoon.